right. Good morning. It's good to see everyone here today. I hope y'all have had a good week. Had some good rest this weekend. Hope y'all are rested, and if not, today is the day of rest. I plan on taking a nap today, this afternoon. I hope you do too. Hope you plan on enjoying your family with a little bit of fellowship and food and resting. It's good for us. It's good for us. This morning, if you take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians in chapter 4, in the book of Ephesians in chapter 4, I'd like to read verse 11 and 12. And in the book of Ephesians in chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, the Bible says this: "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." This morning, I'd like to take the opportunity that I've been given to preach this morning and preach a message to you I've entitled, "No Effect." No Effect. And in Ephesians in chapter 4 here in verse 12, it says that the Lord has given to the church of Jesus Christ certain individuals that He gave for a reason. And verse 12 tells us for the reason. The reason is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And I want to preach this morning on no effect. No effect. Having no effect in your lives when it comes to being able to be effective, when it comes to being preached and taught and learned in the Scripture, why we have no effect sometimes. This week, Probably has been as busy as the rest of the summer for me personally. And as a preacher, I'm always looking for and trying to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit would lead me to preach or teach. I don't have a book at home that's a list of messages and I roam through it and pick an outline and preach a message. There's nothing wrong with that. There are brethren who have written hundreds and thousands of messages, good messages. That would be good for anybody. And they've left them for us, and we can look at them and maybe take them and read them and be inspired by them to come up with our own message. There's no harm or wrong in that. I look and pray to the Lord each week, "Lord, show me something this week that I can learn, that I can study, and will be something beneficial to the body of Christ for us." Sometimes I don't get my message until Sunday morning. That's the way it goes. And I'm happy. It don't matter to me what day I get it, as long as I got it. Friday, I was at a man's house. I had gotten a call. His air conditioner was inoperable. It wasn't working. It was not affecting the temperature in his house at all. Now, most of you, not all of you, most of you have air conditioners in your home. And if you don't, you know what they're supposed to do. You visited my house and you know what an air conditioner is supposed to do. Right? An air conditioner is supposed to cool the air and dehumidify the air to where your body feels comfortable. Now, some people's comfort, like mine, is about 68, 69 degrees. Now, some people's not. Some people's around 72, 73. Some are at 75, and some are at 80. Some people have an air conditioner, and they set it to 80 degrees, and it boggles my mind. Why would you want 80 degrees in your house? I don't know. Man called me and said, my air conditioner's not working. So I went over and took a look at it. This unit was about 6 years old. 6 to 7 years old. Now that's young. That's young for a unit. Units can go anywhere from 18 to 22 years. Is a good lifespan for an air conditioner unit. He said, Brother Sam, are you going to give us a mechanical air lesson today, or are you going to preach? Well, I'm going to preach, but I'm going to give you what the Lord gave me. My job is to overlook the whole system and see what is wrong with this unit. Why is this unit not affecting the air and the way it should be affecting the air? What's wrong? It's not having any effect. Now it's there. Physically it's there. Brother Chris, the unit is there. I can touch it and feel and see it. But it's not doing something right. So I looked over the unit. There were several conclusions I came to. There were multiple ways that a problem could be tackled. But to troubleshoot it properly, you had to put it through some tests to get it to malfunction to see where the root of the problem was. Now, I found the problem. I repaired it. And it's working today. And once it was repaired, you could tell immediately it was working and it was effectual. The cold air was coming out at about 25 degrees colder than the air was going in the unit. It was coming out about 22 to 25 degrees colder. That's good. That's real good. That's real good. I'm saying all that to say this. This unit has been worked on 8 times from the time it was installed until the time I got there. 8 circuit calls on it. They had replaced the compressor, the fan motor. They had replaced the Freon. They had replaced the indoor parts. They replaced outdoor parts. They did a lot of work to this thing, and it still was wrong. I want us to think about our own lives, not as an air conditioner unit, but as the part of the body of Christ. Are we effectual? Are we affecting others around us? Are we affecting our family? And are we working like we should? Now, if you'll turn over to Hebrews in chapter 4. And in Hebrews in chapter 4, in verse 12, the Bible says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I want to tell you something this morning. The Word of God is our technician. The Word of God can overlook something and be applied in your heart in such a way that it can find the root problem why you may or may not be working. What's the problem? Is there a problem? Is there not a problem? If you're going to fix something, you've got to get to somebody who knows how it's supposed to work. Now, I don't want to pat myself on the back too hard. I might hurt myself. I would consider myself a good technician. I would. I've done it for a while. I've been a technician for a while. I've seen quite a few different things that can happen. I'm well versed in HVAC technology. I understand the components and how they work together. I don't just know what they are, I know how they work. Let me tell you something. Who better than the Holy Spirit of God to look in our lives, the one who created us and made us what we are? If we're going to troubleshoot ourselves, if you will, spiritually and physically, we're going to have to let the Word of God do the work. Amen? I want to say this morning, though, there's three things that we cannot have wrong if we're going to be effectual or effective Christians in our lives. There's three things we cannot have wrong. Now, when I troubleshoot an AC unit, the first thing I look at is the electrical side. I cannot tell you how many times I've been to somebody's house and they say, it's not working, and I walk over to the breaker box and I turn it on and it starts working. I did one 2 weeks ago. A lady called me. My AC unit's not working. It was working yesterday. It's not working today. I need it on right now. Okay. So I went over to the house and I said, ma'am, where's your breaker box? She said, it's over here. She goes, it was working yesterday. I said, okay. Walk over to the breaker box. Turn it on. She said, well, it's got to be something else. No, ma'am. Somebody opened this breaker box up, and somebody did something and accidentally turned this breaker off. Was anybody working on anything in the power? Well, my husband did something with the well yesterday and turned off the breaker to the well. Well, the problem is, he bumped your other breaker and didn't realize it. She didn't have a problem. She just didn't have power. But the first thing I look at when I address a unit is the power. Do we have power? Let me tell you something. In our lives as Christians, we are going to have to be saved and know that we're saved. You are not going to do nothing for God lost. And you say, well, Brother Sam, you're preaching in the church. You're basically preaching to the choir. Hey, let me tell you something. You know where you're going to find most of your lost people? In the church. Just because you show up and you wear a tie or don't wear a tie, just because you came and you gave money and your family came, just because you're associated with it, just because you're around it or in it, does not make you a Christian. Our salvation is going to have to be sure. If we're going to be effective and effectual Christians, and we're going to move and do things for the Lord, we got to be saved. How many people do you know that like religion? They like church. They love the choir. They love the music. They love the, all the aspects of fellowship and those things, but they aren't saved. They do not know Jesus Christ. They might know Joseph Smith. They might know Muhammad. They might know Gandhi. They might know all the things that they're out there to be had. They do not know Jesus Christ. We're going to have to be saved. Please take your Bible to 1 John. 1 John in chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10 says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness of him in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given us. I'm sorry. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that ye believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I want to tell you something. That Son of God is going to be Jesus Christ. I say this. Don't let your salvation be confusing or attached to anything else but just that. Your salvation and what you're believing in is that Jesus Christ is and was and still is the Son of God. And that He came to earth to die for our sins. Because we cannot atone for our own sin ourselves. Jesus Christ came to earth and lived a perfect life as the Son of God, and as the will of God would have it. He said that it pleased Him. It pleased Him, God, that Jesus Christ would suffer and die on the cross for the remission of our sins. Let me tell you something. We want to troubleshoot. We want to find out why we aren't being able to live as a Christian, or what's our problem, and how come we aren't effectual in any way. Let's check our salvation and make sure we aren't playing games, or we got religion, or we have something associated with religion, or we have something, a family tie, or anything that might be other than a personal relationship with Jesus Christ ourselves. We need to check the power source. Are we even plugged in? If we aren't plugged in, we're not going to do nothing. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that you're trusting in, plus nothing, minus nothing. Not your good works and the blood. Not your money and the blood. Not the family association and the blood. Just the blood of Jesus. And that alone. And His atonement. Your salvation needs to be sure. If we're gonna get the Holy Spirit, He's going to troubleshoot us. We got to get in and plug in first. Amen? Now the second thing I want to say is this right here. If we're going to troubleshoot something, I told you the first thing I look at is the electrical side. Everything is affected by the electrical side. Without high voltage or low voltage, you aren't going to have nothing able to work. It could be there. I told you, I saw the unit and it was there. It could be there, but it's not going to have any effect unless it's plugged in. Alright, here you are. Here I am. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We've got Him. He's inside of us. But something's wrong. We're not able to perform. We're not able to be effectual. There's something wrong. What is it? We have to examine now. Now we have to examine inside of us what the problem is. We have power. We've established we've got power. Now, we've got to check the plumbing. We've got to check and make sure that the units are connected. Plumbing-wise, we got to make sure that the compressor is connected to the indoor coil condenser. We've got to make sure that all these things that work together are connected and have the Freon, if you will, to move. If it don't have Freon, it ain't going to move. If it don't have a compressor, it's not going to move. If the line's disconnected, if something's wrong with the connection, it's not going to be effectual. Let me tell you something, brethren. In our Christian lives, it is no different for us. We've got the Holy Spirit in us. Let me tell you something. We can do things that offend a holy and righteous God, and there's no connection between us and Him. Brother Ron spoke of this morning. Let me tell you, if you want to be able to reach out and touch the Lord with the prayer and intercession, you've got to make sure there's no iniquity regarded in your heart. There's no problem between you and the Savior. There's no matter between you that's going to hinder you. The Bible says that sometimes a relationship between a husband and wife can interfere with our communication with the Lord. He says, He tells a husband and wife, He says, withhold yourselves not from each other, lest it be for fasting or prayer. Why? That you hinder not. They tell you what?
we can allow our personal relationships with each other.
Hey, we're not supposed to have bitterness one toward another. We're not supposed to speak evil of one another. We're not supposed to allow things come in between the fellowship of us.
Why? It can hinder us from our work that we're supposed to have in our communication. We're supposed to have with the Holy Spirit.
I look at this plumbing as this right here. The knowledge of the Lord. Faith and knowledge. If you'll take your Bible and go to 2 Timothy. We're troubleshooting a spiritual body here. We're troubleshooting a physical body here. And we're trying to find out why it's not having any effect. What could it be? Could it be it's not plugged in? It is plugged in. Okay, so now we're going to move on to the second step of the knowledge of the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 1, it says this right here. This know also, that in the year 2000, perilous times will come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Hey, brother.
I said 2014 to be exact. Let me tell you something, brother. If that doesn't describe our country and our day and age, what does? People would rather play football, basketball, soccer. They'd rather be involved in anything else than that to be at church today. They'll be out on the golf courses. They'll be out in the fishing boats. Man, the bass has to turn. What's going on right now?
Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That describes our entire society at this point. Verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Hey, brethren. You know what he's saying right there?
They look like an air conditioner. It has the form of an air conditioner, but it denies the power that it's supposed to have. What if we say we're Christians, we say we love God, we say we love one another, we say we have this form of there appears to be a godly person, but you deny the power of God in your life.
You deny it because you don't live it. And it doesn't go through you because it's just that. It's a facade. We're troubleshooting this morning why we have no effect. Ephesians in chapter 4 again. Ephesians in chapter 4. We read here a minute ago, and I want to go back over it because I'm going to go back to 2 Timothy. He says here in verse 11, He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers, brethren. The Lord gave them for the edifying of you and me. For our benefit, He gave them. Let's go back to 2 Timothy here. Verse 6, 2 Timothy 3:6. Here, he says they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. From such turn away. Verse 6. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was.
I want to tell you something. I went to work on the air conditioning. I was a content person. I was content with this student body problem. Let me tell you something. There are churches full of people this morning, and I say full to the number of thousands, if not millions of people, who are going to have their ears to be meddling, like creeps. He calls them creeps. They're creeping in the houses. Let me tell you something. There are churches full of people who don't care enough about the truth. All they care about is, do you make me feel good about me doing my duties in society? I showed up for church. I gave some money. I helped the poor. I sang in the choir. I did my duty, and I feel so good about me now.
Let me tell you something. Ever learning, me too. You talk to them. They'll tell you about the Bible. You talk to them, they'll tell you things that are in the Scripture. But they'll never find the truth. You know why? They don't want the truth. They love their lifestyle and the ability that their church or their community or their leader allows them to stay in, because all he wants is what he's getting. He's his filthy lucre. He wants his filthy lucre. And they're getting their ears tickled. They're all happy to have each other and not have the truth. Let me tell you something. Thank God for a preacher or a teacher who will stand up and take the Word of God, not in their own hands, but say, thus saith the Lord. Why? Because, brethren, it's only the truth that's going to set you free. It's only the truth that's going to open the light of your mind and your eyes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not an individual. Yes, the Lord uses individuals. But it's by Him in them and His Spirit, His Word, He'll open their eyes to the truth. Thank the Lord for that. The Bible says that they're creeps taking over. Let me tell you something. Them last 89 guys on the road showed up. They're creeps. I mean, they were vicious. They were mean to this man. You say, well, Brother Sam, how do you know? Let me tell you what they did. They sold him a unit. He paid $6,000 for an air conditioner unit. They sold him a 10-year warranty on the unit. And within 4 years, they charged him $2,000 to replace a compressor that was under warranty. Now you tell me about that. You tell me how that works out. How do you warranty somebody your work and then you sell them another one because you tell them it wasn't covered under your warranty? They're creeps. They're thieves and robbers is what they are. Let me tell you what. They weren't looking out for his betterment. They weren't looking and they weren't caring whether he got it fixed or not. All they cared about was padding their own pocketbook. Let me tell you something. You better make sure you're in a church and under a pastor and under a teacher and under brethren who care more about you than they care about themselves. Or else you'll be messed up so bad you won't even be able to find your way out of a wet paper bag. Let me tell you something. There are brethren, we talked about before, they're so messed up in doctrine, so deceived by the world, and so the wool is pulled so far in their eyes, they'll never be able to get out of it because they're so distorted now. And what things? We talk about drugs will do that to you. Let me tell you what, doctrine will do the same thing. Doctrine, the Bible calls it a wickedness and an evil that you would make proselytes of yourself, and they'll be more open than ever you are. Why? Because you're making them after man instead of after God. We better make sure we're connected to the right source. And then we can get the right word. And we can get the truth out of this Bible right here. We won't be messed up. Amen? Now, I told you when I troubleshoot a unit, I check the electrical first. And then I check the plumbing to make sure that there's juicing. Okay, no Freon, ain't nothing gonna happen. The last thing I come across and I start checking, if those don't give me any problems, are I check the mechanical things, the switches, the safeties, the technical things that make things sequence and order. I start checking those, Brother Ron, because I want to make sure that they're not out of line and causing everything else to fail. And I call this the work. This is the work.
and what we've been called to the working for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to know why we're not effectual. We ought to make sure we're plugged in. I want you to make sure you're saved and you love the Lord and you're doing something because you're doing it for the Lord and not for your own self or for self-gratification or any other thing. Then we want to make sure we're connected to the inside unit, to the outside unit. We want to make sure we're connected to the Holy Spirit and the Lord, and He's guiding us. And it's not man and some weird doctrine, but we have knowledge and faith in what we believe. And then last thing we want to check and make sure that our work, the actual physical things we're doing are for the Lord and not for man. Let me tell you something, brethren. The Bible says that we can only build on the foundation that Jesus Christ laid. Now, the Bible says we can build upon that. We can build gold and silver and precious stones. But He also says we can put wood in stubble. Now, how do we put wood in stubble on the foundation of Jesus Christ? When we start doing the laws and the rules of man for man pleasing, for eye service, and not for the glory of God, and not by His own command. Take your Bible, turn over to Matthew in chapter 23. You want to know why your life isn't effectual and why it seems like you can't ever get anything done right for the Lord, and this isn't working and that isn't working and I don't understand this. Check it out and make sure that what you're doing is, in fact, for the glory of God. Check and make sure that what you're doing isn't just to be conforming to your family or to your church or to the satisfaction of a pastor or a deacon or somebody that you're trying to please, but it is actually something you're doing because the Lord told you to do it. Matthew in chapter 23. In verses 27 and 28, he says this right here. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are likened unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but inward are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanliness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Hey, brother, let me tell you something. We better make sure that inward man that we have is clean and right before the Lord Jesus Christ in His righteousness. Let me tell you what, Paul said, all my righteousness is as filthy rags. Why? Because it can't do anything for you. It's not going to avail you anything. It better be Jesus Christ and His righteousness working in your life and not your own. Let me tell you something. The work and the things we do, the things that we are enacted in, the things that we try to do for the glory of God, but be just for that, the glory of God, and not the glory of man, or we'll build upon that foundation, wood and stubble, and we'll have nothing. Let me tell you something. This air conditioner unit, it has a thing called a THV valve. And this THV valve has to be installed just right. And it was installed on there where it should be. It was what it was there, was in the right place, and it was trying to do the work it was there to do. The power was in, the freon was in, everything was happening, but that valve was not opening. That one valve was not opening. Let me tell you what that valve did. By that one valve not opening, it burned the compressor up, high head pressure, for 4 years straight. High head pressure, no vacuum, caused that compressor after 4 years to fail. Then it caused the fan to blow up because it kept freezing up the indoor unit and turned into a giant block of ice. So when they went to the air conditioner, they could feel a little bit of cool air coming up on it. Not what it should be. A little bit was coming through, but not what it should have been. It was starving for freon. Freeze the whole unit up. Run for hours and hours and hours and hours, and the electric bill would be high, and things would be going. Everything sounds and looks like it's right, but just one thing. And Brother Ron, after 8 to 9 visits by different technicians, nobody saw. All at once, brethren, I loosened one screw, turned the switch over, and that's the way it should be.
Now, I want to tell you this. That TXV valve went bad after that long of being upside down switch. I had to buy a new one. I bought one TXV valve. I installed it properly, and the unit is working perfectly fine. Let me tell you something. I wonder if there's just one thing in our life, or one thing that we're holding on to, or one thing that we aren't allowing the Holy Spirit to be revealed. We can't hide from Him, I want you to know. Maybe He showed us something in our life, but we're just going to hold on to it the way it is.
We'll blame it on the flesh. Well, it's just the way flesh is. I'll blame it on somebody. I'm going to do everything I can to change this one thing. I've changed the compressor, I've changed the fan, I've changed the freon, I've had 8 different people look at my problem, and nobody can help me. It just must be, it is what it is. Let me tell you something. Holy Spirit reveals something to you. And He says, hey, this is a problem.
You better address that as your problem, or you'll cause failure to all different things in your life, brethren, in your Christian life, in your family, and in your church.
One simple thing. It was where it was supposed to be. It was in place like it was supposed to be. It just wasn't right.
I wonder about us. Romans in chapter 2. In Romans in chapter 2, in verse 20, says, an instructor of the foolishness, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest not thyself. Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, commit thou sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, though through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. Hey, brother,
when we're talking about being effective and effectual people for the glory of God, are we allowing something in our lives to make,
like it says in verse 24 here, the name of God is blasphemed amongst the Gentiles. Are we allowing religion or our church or our Christianity to be evil spoken of because we're holding on to something we preach against or we teach against, but secretly we have? Or we hold on to or continue it because we say, well, we're not grace. We're not grace. There's no judgment. Grace? He says here that they blaspheme, in verse 24, the name of God is blasphemed. Why? Because they're taking and preaching and teaching, and they aren't even holding themselves to the same standard. Brethren, if we preach it and we teach it, we ought to commit ourselves first. And if we don't, we're going to make the name of God, the name of our church, the name of our salvation, Jesus Christ, and our salvation of no effect. We have to take that role first ourselves. Titus in chapter 1. In the book of Titus, in chapter 1, verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretan are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. Hey, brethren,
we got to make sure that we're grounded firm in the Word of God. We ought to understand our doctrine. We shouldn't preach anything that we don't understand and know to be true ourselves.
We shouldn't adopt somebody else's form of teaching or somebody else's doctrine that we cannot prove to be Scripture just because it sounds good. Or it's part of a group policy. Or it's a part of something that we haven't proven and seen that this is truly in the Word of God.
It ought to be found and ought to be good for everybody.
If you have a doctrine in the Bible, we have a doctrine. Jesus Christ's blood, if that's what atones us of our sins.
That's good for everybody in the whole family. We got a doctrine of baptism. That's good for everybody in the whole family.
We got a doctrine for taking of the communion. That's good for everybody on the planet. Let me tell you something. You be careful for some doctrine that's only good in your community, or your group, or your church group, or your specialty thing. Let me tell you something. If this is the Word of God, it was written for every man. If it can't be applied to China, it ain't good here. If it can't, it ain't good for those in India. It ain't going to be good for me here. If it's not for all of God's children, then it can't be for just one select group. Let me tell you something. The Word of God is quick and powerful. These doctrines in the Scriptures are not no secret thing. They ought to be proven and seen that they're applicable and to everybody. Not just one guy. James in chapter 2. James in chapter 2. Verse 14. I want to say this right here, closing. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?
Let me tell you something. That's knowledge. That's all the knowledge you can gather out of the Bible. Everything you can learn. But no wisdom. I don't know how to apply my knowledge. Now I'm going to tell you, Brother Ron. I can see the problem, Brother Ron. You're naked. And that's why you're cold. That's the problem. I can help you know. If we see and we have such spiritual judgment to be able to identify all the errors and all the wrongs in somebody's life, but we don't have the wisdom to go over to them and say, hey, here's a shirt and a pair of pants. Come on. Here's something. The Texas is the problem. Be warm and filled, and I just gave you clothes. And the food. That is the wisdom of applying the Word of God. If we have all knowledge and no charity, we don't have nothing.
Let me tell you something, brethren. We better be careful exactly what we think we know, what we know, and how much we know, because it doesn't do anybody any good if we can't apply the basic thing to our faith.
He says here, faith without works is dead. It is not. If you have faith, you're going to have faith and you're going to believe and you're going to have that love for your brother in your heart and you're going to do something for him. You can't run so fast and leave him cold.
If you do, you ain't saved. That's what the Bible says. He says it availeth nothing. Verse 17. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Let me tell you something, brethren.
Troubleshooting eight air conditioning units. I'm checking the power, and if I can't find a problem there, I'm checking the plumbing. I'm checking the connection. And if I don't find a problem there, I'm checking all the little intricate switches and things and make it work. And our lives as Christians the Holy Spirit and the Word of God as our technician. And He's going to put it in our hearts, and you can let the preacher preach. He's going to let a teacher teach. He's going to let a brother testify. He's going to let somebody say something, and it's not going to rivet me. Like, whoa, that might be a problem. I might have a problem with that. I might have a problem here. Let me tell you something. When you find that, don't let it go. Don't let it pass by. Take care of that issue. Let me tell you something. If you don't, that one thing may cause you to fail utterly and not be effective at all. Let me tell you an example. I changed this TXV valve. Now that compressor, that brand new compressor that's been in for 4 months, it's been running with a bad TXV valve for 4 months. Now that compressor may fail as long. Because now it has change that I can't repair. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes we might wait too long to fix the problem and cause damages to ourselves spiritually and physically, and we can't go back and fix it until the Lord gives us a new body. Y'all see people walking around as a Christian, they got tattoos or scars on their body from bad decisions they've made. Things they wish they could go back and undo. Things they wish that they didn't have to carry around in their body. That's just like that. Let me tell you what, brother, let's not walk around limping. Oh, man, Lord had to beat the tar out of me. He had to beat the tar out of me. I wouldn't listen to what He had to say when He beat me there. You know there's a problem, there's something keeping you back, and there's something that you need to get right or get fixed, do it! And if you're not sure, pray and ask the Lord to show you. He will show you. He'll show you through your family. He'll show you through your job. He'll show you through the Scripture. He'll show you something if you're willing and honest. That you really want to get it right. He'll show you. Brethren, having no effect. Sometimes we have no effect because we got a problem. One little problem. God, my prayer for you and me, that we get exposed what our problem might be. And when the time comes, the Holy Spirit reveals to us something that we would not hold back. We would not continue to allow that to be a problem. But that we would fix it. That way we can be effective in the body of Christ. Let me tell you what. No man liveth to himself. And no man dies to himself. That goes for the ladies too. Let me tell you something. You affect others around you. Whether you realize it or not. And your error. Your sin. Your thing. That you refuse to or maybe you don't realize the problem and or you won't get it right. You're not just affecting you. You're affecting those around you. We ought to be mindful. Are we effective? And are we affecting others around us the way we ought to? Amen? Let us stand for prayer.